Hey guys, Trevor here with E-commerce Paradise. And today's video, I'm going to be talking about, are high ticket dropshipping businesses profitable in 2018? So a lot of people are wondering, you know, if it's profitable. And it's funny that you would ask that question if you are and if you're curious, because it's just a fulfillment method. You know, dropshipping, everybody thinks it's a business model. Well, in reality, it's just a way of fulfilling orders, right? So if you look at the fulfillment method, basically what's happening is you're taking a sales channel and you're shortening it. So in the classic sales channel, distribution channel, you'd have a manufacturer, usually, you know, China, right? And then they import to the United States. So you have the brand manufacturer, which is in the United States. And then if the industry is big enough, the brand will then ship in bulk to a distributor's warehouse somewhere in the United States. And then the distributor will sell to a retailer. And then the retailer, whose storefront usually is somewhere, will sell to the end consumer. So there's multiple points along the sales channel process and the delivery process. But dropshipping cuts the retailer storefront out and sometimes can even cut the distributor out too. And that's the ideal thing. So us as high ticket dropshippers, what we're trying to do is we're trying to shorten the sales channel from, you know, manufacturer straight to the consumer. So the consumer can buy from our website and then we order it from the manufacturer and then the manufacturer ships to the consumer. So instead of the manufacturer selling to the distributor, distributor takes its cut, and then selling to the retailer takes its cut. And then the retailer finally sells it to the end consumer, who then ends up paying full retail price. We can charge less than retail price and still make a very good margin. So it's very profitable, right? And dropshipping is simply a fulfillment method for how you're going to send that product to the consumer. So instead of having to buy the products, inventory them in some sort of warehouse of your own, and then ship them out to the product to the consumer from there, which is like how Amazon does things. You know, when they were first getting started, they were doing books and they would have a series of distributors that they would buy books from. So when they sold a book online, they, instead of having it drop shipped, they would have it shipped to their warehouse and then reship to the customer. If you read the Everything book, it's a really eye-opening book about how Amazon did their fulfillment in the very beginning. It's very interesting. The pros about dropshipping are simply that there's less overhead. You don't have to deal with a big warehouse. You don't have to deal with a huge team of employees to manage it. You don't have to deal with air conditioning and electricity, and you don't have to deal with plumbing. And you don't have to deal with you know, security systems and all that stuff. All the overhead that comes with a retail storefront, you don't have to deal with it, which is really cool. The other thing too is that since it's an online catalog, you're ultimately scalable. You can sell as many different products as you want within any category. So that's the beauty of it, right? And Amazon, obviously, they're kind of the, you know, extreme version of that. They've taken that to the next level, just kind of become the everything store. I always recommend people start with niche stores, but still you can scale as much as you want within that niche and even relevant niches next to that niche. So that's pretty cool. The other cool thing about it is that it's location independent. So yeah, it's a business model that works. It's a fulfillment method that works for e-commerce sales, and you can do it from anywhere. So if you have a laptop, you can go work at a coffee shop. You can go, you know, if you have a cell phone that has a hotspot, you can go down to the beach and work on your lawn chair on the beach if you want. You can work from home, of course, which is what most people do. And the other beauty of dropshipping is that, like I said, there's no fulfillment warehouse you have to have, so you don't have any inventory to manage. You have the inventory of your supplier, and your supplier has to manage their own inventory. They have to order from China. They have to take care of all that inventory management stuff. They have to have the insurance for that. So it's another big cost you don't have to consume. So you, as the dropshipping e-commerce entrepreneur, you can focus on what you're good at, which is marketing. All right, so some of the cons of dropshipping and the reason why people think it's not profitable is because dropshipping is less profitable than other business models, like having a product yourself and selling it direct to the public, right? Like a business model where you white label something like a supplement or something like that, it might make you like 30, 40% margin or higher. And the thing about that is that, yes, you're buying it usually direct from China or some sort of a manufacturer in the United States, and you are holding it in a warehouse somewhere to ship out. So it's either Amazon's fulfillment by Amazon warehouse or some other warehouse, you know, in the United States, and you're going to ship it there, ship it all around the world, whatever it is. But that's going to have more costs associated with it. So eventually you get kind of to the same margin, right? And that's the key here, guys, is understand, yeah, there's less profit, but that's because more costs are built in to your margins with dropshipping, especially high ticket dropshipping. There's big products. So you have to ship these big products via LTL, which is less than truckload freight, which is very expensive, $100 to $300 maybe per product that's sold. And even if there's, you know, $800 to $1,000 in profit there per sale, you still have to pay out a few hundred dollars just in shipping costs. So it can eat out your profit pretty quick and easy. Some ways to get around that, of course, are by doing upselling and cross-selling. I'll get into that in other videos. There's other fulfillment complexities as well with high ticket dropshipping. Of course, I just mentioned one of them, which is having to deal with freight. A lot of times your suppliers are going to do the freight for you. But the problem with that is that you end up having a disconnect between the freight company and the customer. And so you give the supplier the customer's phone number and all their information, but sometimes like the freight company, you know, doesn't deliver on time, or they call the customer and the customer doesn't answer their phone or something like that. So there can be a lot of issues that you deal with, complexities when it comes to shipping that you'll have to manage as a dropshipper, and it can be very, very difficult. Thanks for tuning in, Nathaniel George. I really appreciate you dropping in here. It says, does Google Shopping work well with low ticket products, or would you stick with that? For low ticket products, I definitely stick with Facebook, and the reason why is because Facebook ads are interest-based, and low ticket products are products that people will buy on an impulse decision. Some people buy high ticket products these days based on impulse, but usually there's a longer sales process to go with that. With high ticket products, generally what you're going to find is that the sales process has more to do with shopping around, comparison shopping across multiple sites to see where they can get this deal. And that's where Google Shopping comes into play. Google Shopping is a comparison shopping channel. You compare products from multiple retailers right in the same thing next to each other. So you can see who has the best deal, who's most trustworthy, who you trust the most and like the most, and you can place your order with Google Shopping. So that's why it works really well for high ticket items. Facebook ads work well for retargeting with high ticket, because then you get them back into your store to place that order. But for low ticket items, for cold leads, which is kind of what you're doing with Google Shopping with high ticket, then you definitely want to stick with Facebook ads for that. All right, the next thing about it, with drop shipping, it's very profitable, and you know, big sites do it really profitably. If you are wondering what sites do drop shipping, I would say almost any big retail website does drop shipping. If you look at Wayfair.com, they do a lot of drop shipping. If you look at Amazon.com, they have a marketplace. And so technically they're drop shipping, right? If you think about it. And a lot of the things that Amazon got themselves into in the early days was actually industries they had no experience in, right? And so they were drop shipping in the very beginning with these industries before they started actually buying the best sellers and making their own brands out of them and stuff like that. So this is just a way for you to grow a business without having to take all the risk on that a normal business would have if they were to build that product themselves and warehouse it themselves, or if they were to become a retailer and have to stock and buy all that inventory from their suppliers, right? You don't have to deal with any of that risk with drop shipping. High ticket dropshipping is really cool because these are products over $1,000. If you wanted to start a retail storefront selling fireplaces, for instance, you would have to put out probably $100,000 or more, because you got to buy the retail store, you got to, you know, set up all the merchandising, and then you got to buy the actual fireplaces. Each one costs like $500 to like $3,000, right? So inventory alone could eat up like $50,000 just in capital right there. You have to invest into the products, right? Then you got to buy insurance to protect that investment. You have to pay salesmen to go sell it for you. You have to pay for marketing and traffic to people get to your store. So dropshipping kind of skips all of that, right? You can get on board with a supplier for free, right? You just have to have the proper documentation, and then you can upload the products to your website for a low price, and then those products are available for sale, and then you just market them using Google Shopping. Those products then sell, right? And you just have your supplier ship that product directly to your customer. So it is very profitable, and it's a great business model to get into because there's very low risk associated with it. So you can make a good living doing it. Small niche sites do this very profitably, and that's why I talk about one product category at a time, because you can build a niche site into just one product category, even like one to like five relevant product categories that are similar to each other. Because what you'll usually find with high ticket dropshipping is that one supplier is not just gonna have one category. A supplier is probably gonna have two or three or more categories within their collection, right? And so you'll be able to take those other collections now and add them to your website and make a nice, big, broader website out of that too. It's always good to start with one niche in the beginning, right? Because you can get traction. That's the key here, is you wanna be able to launch, get traction, get practice, and then go from there. You also want to look for the best suppliers. You don't want to deal with bad suppliers when you're doing dropshipping, or it's not going to be as profitable, right? If you have suppliers that are always shipping out products that are damaged, that are always having returns and stuff like that, you know, if you have suppliers that offer, like, have really bad customer service, you're going to have more issues with your customers because your suppliers suck. So if you have shitty suppliers, then your presence is going to be less profitable, and it's going to be a pain in the butt to manage. So just keep that in mind. You want to have really good suppliers. You want to, you know, make sure you write down every single time they have a product that ships that arrives damaged, or every time they have a product that is a defect, and kind of keep a scorecard in your suppliers. There's apps that do this for you, but it's really good to manage that process, because otherwise you can kind of get lost and, you know, really have that screw up your business, screw up your profitability, and screw up your ability to run it and have a good time with it. Thank you for the question, Nathaniel George. I really do appreciate you being here and asking that. It's awesome. If you have any more questions, feel free to drop them in the chat box, you guys. If you guys are getting value out of this, definitely subscribe to the channel. I really do appreciate you listening to this and watching this video. And we'll get on to the next point here. The next thing, in order to make dropshipping profitable, you have to do it right. You have to do e-commerce correctly. All right, and there's a few things I'm going to go over right now. Looks like I have 6 points to make right now. These 6 points are all really important. They're things I go through over in my masterclass as well. So if you're interested in that, ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass, you can sign up to get notified when it launches again. Number one is conversion optimization. You have to understand conversion optimization in e-commerce. This is the only way you're going to make sales these days because many of these industries are very competitive now. More and more high-ticket dropshipping is becoming very competitive, right? So another reason why you should get in it now as opposed to wait till later is because you're going to have more competitors to deal with, just bottom line, right? It's growing every year. There's tons of orders happening. More people are getting into it. So there's four ways to do conversion optimization, the big four I'm going to talk about right now. Number one is scarcity and urgency. Okay, I'm doing this as one because scarcity and urgency go hand in hand. Scarcity means you're running out of stock, you only have a few left, and urgency is, you know, you need to buy it now for one reason or another. Now, urgency is usually in the form of some sort of a expiring coupon code, but urgency can also be just that it's running out of stock. So like you'll see on Amazon site, only a few left, only three left, something like that. I always put that on my sites, even if it's not really true, just because then you're giving somebody more of a reason to buy now to make that decision. They know they want it, they're just shopping for the best deal, and if they see on your website they only have a few left, it's more likely they're gonna actually make that decision. There's nothing shady about that. It's just getting somebody to make a decision. That's all it is. It's a marketing tactic, all right? And urgency has to do with a coupon code. So us as retailers, we can always be offering sales, and the key is to make that sale an expiring sale. Don't just make it a sale, right? Make it expire tonight or expire tomorrow or expire the end of the week or something like that, because then again, there's more urgency in place to make that decision now as opposed to waiting until later. That's key. The next one is social proof, right? You're not going to be able to make sales without reviews. Amazon figured this out early on, and so they focused a lot of their effort on social proof. Social proof is really important to go over in your website, because if you don't have other people on your website that are placing orders and talking about them and sharing them with your community of other people that are interested in placing orders, it's going to look like your shop is dead, right? It's going to be like a retail store where nobody's in there. Do you really want to go in there? Probably not, right? Because nobody else is in there. But if there's a line going out the door and, you know, there's a sign going up all the time that orders are being placed and there's lots of reviews on the wall, yeah, you're going to want to go in there because that place looks like it. Other people are liking it. When other people like something, we're more likely to like it, right? So have reviews on your website. And have a pop-up that says that sales are being placed. You know, that's key. In the beginning, it's hard because you're not gonna have many sales, but you'll start getting sales, and it's good. There's Shopify apps for that that pop up that say sales are happening. Social proof is a very powerful trigger. You can do it on mobile and desktop, and I highly recommend doing that. Next is trust. Trust is key. People will have a hard time trusting you, especially in the beginning. And you'll see on a lot of these websites, there's third-party apps that show up, like TrustGuard, TrustPilot, Shopper Approved, McAfee or Norton Shopping Guarantee. All of these are really good trust apps. I have a blog post at ecommerceparadise.com that goes over all the different trust apps and trust badges you can put on your website. And I have actual like images that you can download and screenshot and stuff like that. So I definitely recommend doing that because trust is key. When somebody lands on your website, they want to know if they can trust you or not. And just telling them that you have, you know, a satisfaction guarantee isn't good enough. You have to have a third party app on your website that's going to do that for you, right? I highly recommend TrustGuard. It's really good. If you want to check them out, just type ecommerceparadise.com/trustguard into your browser and check them out. They're really, really good. They have multiple trust deals, a bit expensive, but it's worth it. They can increase your conversions. Next one is risk reversal. Risk reversal is really cool because people want to know if you can return the product if they have a bad experience with it. They want to know what the restocking fee is, if there is any. They want to know if they're going to have to pay for return shipping, all that stuff, right? So by creating some sort of a really nice return policy, even if you do have to have those things in place, and creating a satisfaction guarantee that says that we're going to take care of you no matter what, you're putting that risk reversal in place, right? 30-day return policy, easy returns, all that stuff really matters to people, and it helps your conversion rate. So that's key. All right, so moving on beyond conversion optimization, these things all have to do with conversion optimization, but this is a different one in particular. It's called email marketing. And if you're not doing email marketing on your e-commerce store, you need to be doing email marketing. It's key to getting people back into your website. The email inbox is one of the most personal spaces for all of our lives, and we check it daily and usually multiple times a day. Email is definitely still one of the biggest channels for sales. It is for me, and it is for pretty much any big retailer out there online. Email marketing is key. There needs to be multiple campaigns set up, one for people that haven't placed an order with you yet, that have not actually abandoned their cart. So these are people that may have signed up to receive a coupon or something and a pop-up on your website. You need to have a campaign for those people. And your key is to welcome them and to kind of indoctrinate them to your brand and then also like push them to making that order. The next one you need to set up is for somebody that has abandoned their cart. So that means they put their email address into the checkout button and click shipping settings. If you're using Shopify, that's how it works. And then they've now been set as a customer and you can market to them. So you need to make an abandoned cart campaign. I usually recommend between 3 to 5 emails or more, spaced out 1 day each. And maybe the first one hits them within a few hours. And it just tells them, hey, we've got this sale going on. There are only a few left. It kind of reiterates all your unique selling proposition points and then tries to close that sale again. Next is the post-purchase campaign. So once someone's placed a purchase, you need to have an email series in place that's going to thank them, tell them about that product, tell them about what it's going to be like to receive that product, and then what it's going to be like to actually assemble and set the product up. And then after that, tries to get them to buy more things from your store. Okay, that's key. All right, and then you can set up more. You can set up retargeting email campaigns later on after they haven't placed an order for a while to get them back into your store. You can set up way more email campaigns. Email marketing goes really in depth. You can create tags, and so you can offer them other things, other product lines, and if they click it, then you can create a whole new sequence just for that product line to go out to them. The cool thing about high ticket dropshipping is it's so scalable, but the problem with that is that you have so many products to sell now, you can get totally blown away by how much marketing you'll have to do. So that's why I really like dynamic remarketing. And that's what I'm going to talk about next is retargeting ads. And I use Facebook for retargeting ads because those are the most profitable because everybody's using Facebook multiple times a day, just like they're checking their email inbox. And retargeting ads means that someone's already landed on your website. They've been pixeled with Facebook's pixel, meaning Facebook now knows they were on your website. They actually know which products specifically that they were looking at that on your website. So they will show those products to that consumer on their Facebook feed, and you get to put a little note in there that says, hey, use this coupon code, get your thing now, hurry up, expires tonight, so take action now, that kind of a thing. So you kind of reiterate it right there. They get back into your website and they place that order. And it's very targeted because it shows them the exact product they were just looking at your website. So I highly recommend setting that up. I use Retarget app. You can also use Perfect Audience. You can use Shoelace. There's many different Shopify apps you can use for setting up retargeting. And I highly recommend doing that because it can be very profitable and help you get back in there. All right, guys, I hope you guys are getting lots of value from this. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, hit that like button, and of course, share any questions you have in the chat box as well as I'm going about. I have a couple more points to make here, and then I'm going to end out this video. So next is Google Ads. Google Ads is where the money is made, guys. With high ticket dropshipping, you will not be profitable unless you're running Google Shopping Ads, because that is where people click. When someone types in something into the search engines, Google Shopping Ads are what appear first. They are the only thing in Google's search engine results page with an actual picture on it. They have pricing next to it, they have your store name, and they have an offer. So there's so much going on with Google Shopping Ads these days. That is where the bulk of the revenue is happening. If you're not running them, you need to run them. And if you don't know how to run them, you need to learn how to run them. I actually teach this in my masterclass. So if you're interested in learning how, go to ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass and sign up to be notified when the course relaunches. They're fairly simple, but you have to understand the buyer's funnel. You have to understand what negative keywords are, and you have to understand what campaign priorities are and how to set it up properly so that you target people when they're in the bottom of the buyer's cycle, when they're ready to make their purchase, when they're in that comparison shopping stage, right? That's where you sell the high ticket products. And you have to do this by filtering them through these priorities to a low priority campaign that's very highly bidded up with lots of negative keywords. And you hit them there with that, 50 cent to a dollar bid, and they'll convert on products somewhere between $1,000 to $5,000. And it's very profitable with running those ads. They have to be backed up by retargeting ads and email marketing, and they have to be backed up with really good sales pages, right? You have to go through the conversion optimization stuff, and you have to write really good descriptions and really good product sales pages so that they'll actually convert with your store. So all this goes together. Without one piece of that puzzle, the whole thing might not even work. So just keep that in mind. But Google Shopping Ads is where the money is made. That is the money traffic channel. So keep that in mind, guys. If you're going to work on any traffic at all, 80-20 that stuff. Put it into Google Shopping Ads. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. If you just tuned in, I am doing a Q&A here. You can drop any questions you have into the chat box. And I'm really excited to help you guys out. If this is your first time on the channel, definitely hit that subscribe button. And also, of course, hit that like button. Old Young asks, can I do this on WordPress and WooCommerce? Yes, of course, can. I recommend Shopify because it is a managed hosting service. They take care of all your hosting issues for you, so you don't have to deal with that. For me, when I was using WordPress and WooCommerce back in 2014, I had to deal with a lot of hosting issues because using GoDaddy, and it wasn't the best hosting. It was shared hosting. Their hosting can be very expensive if you're paying for more expensive hosting. So I was just on cheap shared hosting, and I always had my site going down randomly, so I had to hire a developer, and it was just a nightmare because I have tons of orders going through. So I switched to Shopify. I've never had that issue since. Highly recommend doing that. If you guys want to set up with Shopify, feel free to use my link, ecommerceparadise.com/Shopify. Next point I'm going to make is organic search. And that has to go along with creating really good product descriptions with unique content. So you have to have your product descriptions rewritten with high ticket dropshipping. It's key. If you don't, suppliers just don't write very good product descriptions. It's just not going to be something that you can use to sell all the time. I mean, you might be able to make some sales, but if you rewrite your product descriptions and you rewrite them with a benefits based product description focus, then you're going to make more sales. And what I mean by benefits based is, like, what does this product do to solve someone's problems? What does this product do to fulfill their desires, right? You have to approach that in your product description with your sales copy and with the pictures. So every high ticket product has features, right? This feature, that feature, that feature. You know, a fireplace has features like the BTUs that it's putting out, you know, the glass front or whatever, the aluminum siding. What are these different features and why would somebody like that? You know, and you've got to approach that and you say, okay, it's got 150 BTUs to make you nice and toasty warm in the wintertime, or it's got a nice rounded glass face so that people can see it from all over the room. And you're going to look like the coolest person when you're hosting that home party. If you really touch on their core desires with your product descriptions, you're going to be able to sell better and sell to people more. Okay, so keep that in mind. Google search happens. You'll get search traffic when you start putting unique content out there and when you start getting backlinks from other websites. Okay, and the unique content is where it starts. So get the unique content made, you'll show up in the organic search results for those long tail keywords, those product specific keywords, and that's what's going to drive buyer traffic to you from organic search. You'll always be able to see where your sales are coming from by using Google Analytics, by the way. Google Analytics will tell you whether it's an organic search sale or whether it came from Google Shopping Ads, direct traffic, YouTube, or something else. All right, and the last thing, guys, is social media and community building. While this doesn't bring the bulk of our income from these profitable dropship stores, the key is that it does bring income, and so you have to build it out. It brings everything full circle. So it will get your VIP customers buying from you over and over and over again. And that's key too, is you want to build community around your store. And if you're not, then get started. It's really easy. First, find who your target market is, how old they are, what social media channels they're using, whether it be Facebook, whether it be YouTube, that kind of thing, and focus your community building there. So the way you do it is just go out in your space and type in your niche keyword and then see what other channels there are. Are there blogs? Are there YouTube channels? Are there Facebook groups? Things like this. And if there are more in one area than another, focus your own in that area as well, because they know best already where that target market is. For instance, if you're selling to people that are 70 or 80 years old, I wouldn't start an Instagram account because they're just not going to be on Instagram, right? But if you start a Facebook group, they're probably on Facebook, or, you know, YouTube. YouTube is really good for older audiences as well. Old Young asks one last question. When you contact suppliers for wholesale accounts, do you ask them for dropshipping services? How does that work? Well, yes. So when you're asking a supplier for an account, what you want to do is you want to make sure they understand that you are an online only retailer, meaning you just have a website. You do not have a fulfillment warehouse and you do not have a retail storefront. That's key because they want to know that right off the bat. Are you going to be a retailer that's going to buy stock from them in bulk or not? Okay, because they have two different programs. One program is going to give you a lot bigger discount if you're buying inventory in bulk. They're going to want to work with you more one-on-one because you can also become a service center and all this stuff. But we don't want to do that, right? We just want to sell online. We want to make the profit between what the dealer price is and what the sale price is, what the MAP price is. In other words, minimum advertised price, which is a little bit lower than MSRP, but it's still, it's where you're going to be selling, right? You want to approach it from a wholesale standpoint first. Let them know you're online only And then if the, you know, if the conversation doesn't really evolve from there, if they don't know right away what's going on, then you can say, yes, we're going to need drop shipping. Do you guys do drop shipping where you ship directly to our consumer for us? And then they'll say yes or no. But usually by that point, they'll understand what's going on. But if you just say, hey, we're an online retailer, we do not have a fulfillment warehouse or a retail storefront, you know, then they'll understand, okay, no problem. We have a drop shipping program. Most suppliers have drop shipping programs. Whether they say it on their website or not, they'll have a program built out for these guys because they work with them. Wayfair.com is a dropshipper. Overstock.com is a dropshipper. All these big, gigantic websites out there, you think you're ordering and getting it from them? You're not. They ship from the supplier, especially when it's a big products, high ticket products. If you're going to buy a kegerator, if you're going to buy a, you know, a big table, if you're going to buy some teak furniture, if you're going to buy an electric fireplace, they're not going to have those items in stock most of the time, especially if it's a big item and an expensive item. They're going to get those from the supplier, and the supplier has their own fulfillment warehouse. So that's how that works. Thank you for the question, Old Young. I do appreciate that. Getting suppliers is one of the most confusing things when you're first getting started with high ticket drop shipping. Even just finding suppliers can be confusing for people because it isn't the basic method of going to like Alibaba or AliExpress or whatever, and or going to like, you know, Walmart or Home Depot. Most people that do drop shipping, like with price arbitrage, they think about it like, oh, I just go to a retailer, I find a product and I repost it on eBay. But that's not how this business model works. You're actually doing real retail just online, right? And everybody thinks, oh, it's going to be really hard to do. It's not. It's actually a lot easier than you think it is. You just have to be willing to get on the phone. That's the key, guys. If you want to make more money, you're going to have to get used to doing phone sales. Part of phone sales is phone recruiting. And yes, you're going to have to cold call suppliers. But the beauty of it is they want your services, right? They've dealt with other people like you before, and they know who you are. They know what you do most of the time. If they don't, they don't want your services, don't worry. Don't take it personally. I always tell my students, never take it personally. If a supplier refuses you, it's not your problem. It's that they're either growing out of the business model, or they just, you know, they've taken on way too many dealers lately, and you need to hit them up in like 3 to 6 months, right? So it's nothing about you. It's just about them. And just keep following up, keep following up, keep following up, and eventually you'll get that big account. And those big accounts, those big suppliers, those are what you want because those are the most profitable accounts. And then you want to grow your relationship with them. You really want to get to know them better. You want to get to know who you're going to be working with over there. So you call and you say, hey, who's the rep I'm going to be working with? Especially at the bigger suppliers, you're going to have a dedicated rep there, or at least 2 to 3 reps that work in the same department you're going to be working with. So you want to make sure that you make a relationship with them, that you ask them about themselves and their lives and stuff like that. Don't just keep it a dry thing. But the better relationship you become with them, the more likely you're going to get discounts in the future, better pricing, and better, just better service in general when things go wrong, right? And that's key. You want them to trust you, right? And that's key, because if you start having customers that have like weird delivery issues and stuff like that, a thing that can happen is your supplier will be like, well, that kind of seems weird. We don't get that from other, you know, dealers. Maybe this dealer is just really shady, right? So you have to make a really good relationship with the supplier so they trust you, so that they're going to go to the customer and say like, that doesn't sound like that person, because I mean, know that dealer. I've talked to that dealer over and over again, and they seem like a nice person, right? So a lot of this is relationship building and stuff like that. And that's key, guys. You really do need to be aware that building this kind of a business to make it actually profitable, you have to be in it for the long run. You have to be building a real big, sustainable online business. This means eventually managing a team, hiring and managing a team of people to manage your store for you, finding all the different softwares and services that are going to be able to take care of your business so that you don't have to be doing everything in your business, but you can work more on your business than in your business. And that's key, guys. So thanks for the questions, Nathaniel, George, and Old Young. I really do appreciate it. And for the rest of you guys watching, I hope you got value out of this. If you did, definitely share this video with your network. I would appreciate that because it helps me get the video out farther. And if you liked it, definitely hit that like button and comment your biggest reason for starting or growing a high-ticket dropshipping business right now. What is it in your life? What is your core desire for building a business? I want to know, guys, because this helps me reach more people and understand my audience better. Okay. So definitely let me know why you're building this business, and definitely get into the masterclass. But first, check out my free niches list. I have a list of high ticket dropshipping niches that's completely free. If you go to ecommerceparadise.com/99niches, spell number 99 and niches, you'll get a free niches list. And you'll even after that get access to my free mini course, Dropship Secrets. So check all that out, guys. Look forward to seeing you in there and helping you start a profitable high ticket dropshipping business. We'll catch you in the next live stream. Take care.